This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 14 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق ل 28 من شهر نوفمبر 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last درس. And today بإذن الواحد الأحد we'll be dealing with a new chapter, which is about Ikram al-Dayf, honoring and respecting the guest, hosting somebody in a good way. The Mu'allif, as usual, you know, always starts with the ayat of the Quran and then follow it with the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الله تعالى وهل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون. Until the end of the ayat. وقال تعالى وجاءه قومه يهرعون إليه ومن قبل كانوا يعملون السيئات قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم اتقوا الله ولا تخزوني في ضيفي أليس منكم رجل رشيد. So these are two stories that are related to each other, mentioned by the Quran about these two noble prophets, Ibrahim عليه السلام and Lut عليه السلام. He mentioned these stories to support the topic about honoring the guest and respecting the guest and taking care of them in the best way and manners. So he quoted this story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was visited by those angels. Angels visited him, and then after him they moved to Lut alayhi salam. That was the second prophet. The first one was Ibrahim and the second one was Lut alayhi salam. So they went to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about what happened. He says, Hal ataka hadith dhayf Ibrahim al-mukrameen. You know, those guests that Ibrahim respected them and he honored them. Ibrahim was the first to introduce this kind of behavior and attitude in good manners, to be really kind and also to respect whoever visits you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Dayf Ibrahim. A dayf is somebody who visited you to stay with you for a few moments, few days, whether from your relatives or from friends or anybody that you hosted in your house. Dayf Ibrahim al-Mukrameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here that Ibrahim respected them. He honored them. They're really honored. They enjoy being with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he did not know who they are. That's karam. He just perceived that these are righteous people and they came to him to visit him. Ibrahim, although he doesn't know them, at the same time he granted them the best of receptions. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامًا. When they get inside the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they said, سَلَامًا أَيْنُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْكَ سَلَامًا. We're greeting you with the salam. قَالَ سَلَامٌ. So Ibrahim replied the salam back to them. أَيْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Yeah, this is the sunnah that remains until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the Isra wal Miraj, he was giving salam to the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salam, when he was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also asked him to go and say salam to the group of angels that were there next to the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. So this salam is a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the nations, starting from Adam all the way down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's one of the most powerful things to maintain the unity amongst the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ. He said, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, the one that holds my soul, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ. You will never be able to go to your paradise until you believe. And you will never have the peak of faith and belief until you love each other. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى تَحَابُ. You don't go without belief. And you will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as somebody who fulfills this reality until you love each other. You want to reach the peak of faith, you have to love each other. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you want me to guide you towards something that if you do it, you will be loving each other? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. قَالَ أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بِهِ. And then he said, spread the salam amongst you. It's one of the most powerful tools to bring the heart together. So they said, As-salamu alayk. Salam. They're saying salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim replied the salam. قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. Ibrahim told them, you look strange. SubhanAllah. They came to his house and they said, As-salamu alayk. And when somebody greeted you with this kind of word, then you perceive what? Peace coming from him. You perceive peace coming from him. So that's how when they say, As-salamu alayk, Ibrahim replied the salam. And then he told them, he looked at them, he said, you look strange. You look strange. Yeah, because he doesn't know who they are. قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجِلٍ سَمِيٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Tafadhal, come and have a seat. He brought them inside, let them sit down, and then rush. رَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ أَيْ أَسْرَعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. In secret, he moved very quickly to his family members. فَجَاءَ بِعِجِلٍ سَمِيٍ. SubhanAllah. He selected the best amongst the animals, you know, the young cow, and also Sameen, a bit fat. They said this is the best in terms of meat, those type of animals. In some narration, Ja'a bi'ijlin haneef, you know, he cooked it first, fried it for them, in that faham, you know, that best way of frying the meat, you know, somebody was explaining, I don't know how it is, but he says this is when you fry the meat, but you let it cook itself by itself through a rock that you put on the fire, and you put the meat on the rock. Again, so it cooked from those, heat up that comes from the rock. You should go to the restaurant and ask them, how did they make that? So Shahid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he cooked a nice, you know, meat for them, and he brought it. فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ, a very nice meat from the cow, and he presented it to them. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he took it very closer to them. You know, even this one also contains respect. He did not put it somewhere else, they go and serve themselves. He took it next to them. Put it next to them. They don't need to go on and take it from far distance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. He put it next to them. And then subhanAllah, look at the way he addressed them with no command. He says, أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Why don't you eat? You know, there's a difference between kulu, eat, you know, and أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. why didn't you eat from this? It's like, this is meant for you. You're not supposed to wait for me to give you command to eat. Why didn't you eat? قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُ. He told them, why didn't you eat from this? فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُ. So they don't eat from that meat. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. So he started getting scared of them, because this is a very nice meat where people are supposed to be rushing to eat, but he's giving them everything. And also in the way he make them as somebody who has authority, actually doesn't need any permission, but they're not eating from it. So when they refused to eat, Ibrahim started to get scared of them. Maybe they are not from us. So they told him, "La takhaf. Inna ursilna ila qawmi lut," or ila qawmi mujrim, someplace. They told him, "Don't be scared. I'm just here to pass our salam to you. It's not you. We're going to Lut, alayhi salam." Then Ibrahim understand that these are not human beings, these are angels. That's why he quickly told them, "Qala inna fiha Luta." He said, "But there is Lut in that place." He says, "My brother Lut is in that place, you know." Yeah, because he knows that these are angels going to that place, you know that, and he knows about the people of Lut, what they're doing. When these angels told him that we are going to go to people of Lut, alayhi salam, Ibrahim sensed something really is going to happen big in that place. So he told them, "Inna fiha Luta." "My brother is there." "Qalu nahnu a'lam biman fiha." They told him, "Don't worry, we know better than you who exactly exists in that place. We have all the details, who is who in that place, don't worry. We are going to save him and protect him and his family members." SubhanAllah. And Ibrahim was asking, begging them, a bit of chance to be given to them, look at the hearts of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was asking those angels, if there is any chance to be given to those people, maybe they will change. And then they told, "Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hada." They said, "Ya Ibrahim, forget about this topic, you know. We're not here for this." SubhanAllah. Yeah, because the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already been passed to them. That means no retraction. Yeah, that's why they told Ibrahim not to waste his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as somebody who has a very soft heart. But they told him, this is not the time for this. So they left Ibrahim alayhi salam, they moved to Lut alayhi salam. He also respected them very kindly, you know, in a way maybe similar to that which was done by Ibrahim to those prophets and those angels. So when those young angels, I mean, young man, you know, they were angels, but in the form of human beings, get inside the house of Lut alayhi salam. Allah says, وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The people of Lut alayhi salam, they kept on rushing. They kept on telling each other about the guests of Lut alayhi salam. Because those people of Lut, what did they do? They are the first nation that introduced this evil behavior that even animals don't go for that, except if they are deviated in mind. This is homosexuality. A man marrying a man, وَالْإِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They're the first people. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, "If either you stop it or we will visit you with the punishment, nobody received it before you." SubhanAllah, I'm going to see how this, you know, behavior. Read that would do it in the Qayyim. Mafasid, mafasid. A'azam bi kathir min mafasid zina. Much greater than the mafsara that exists in the normal zina. It destroyed the family structure from the roots. There is no way for a nation to succeed as long as this is being practiced openly in them. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Islam, he says, "Man wajadtuhu ya'mal 'amala qawmi Lutin faqtulu al-fa'ila wal-maf'ula bih." No tolerance, zero tolerance in Islam for this. Because we believe in the preservation of the family. And anything that touches it is going to be serious matter in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they saw this young man getting inside the house of Lut alayhi salam, they kept on rushing to the house. They told each other that Lut alayhi salam had a guest, so they kept on going to the house to see if they can get them. So Lut alayhi salam worried so much. Allah says, وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. They came to him, and they are those people that you know who are doing the wrongdoing. The wrongdoers doing that sayyah. Sayyah means that homosexuality. Al-Luti. وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي هُنَّ أَطْهَارُ لَكُمْ. Lut alayhi salam told them, he said, people, please, don't embarrass me. Haula ibanati, these are my daughters. And some scholars among them, Mufassirin, they said he called the sisters in the country his daughters because a prophet is acting as the father for the people in that community. Otherwise, he doesn't mean his daughters, because his daughter, he has only two. He has only two daughters. So they're not sufficient for the whole community, right? Because they can marry only one person. But he was referring to the sisters in the community. هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِهُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. They're pure for you. When he says أَطْهَر, he is not talking about the tahara to exist in the other side. Because there is no purity at all in somebody having sexual relationship with the same gender. No purity at all. But he is just mentioning that this is the one that purity exists in it. Other than that, there is nothing inside it except disaster. And then he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْهِ. He said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not embarrass me in the presence of my guests. And don't harm me by doing this to my guests. Please. Subhanallah. They told him, قَالُوا مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدٍ. They told him, we don't have any interest in your daughters. They're talking about sisters. They said, we don't have any interest in women. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدٍ. And you know exactly what we want. مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدٍ. We don't have any interest in your daughters and the sisters in this community. And you know what we need. You know what we want. SubhanAllah. So he worried so much. And then the angels told him, قَالُوا يَا لُوتُ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَسِرُوا إِلَيْكَ وَأَصْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِكِثٍ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِدْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا مُرَادٌ إِنَّهُ مُصِيبُهَا مَا أَصَابَهُمْ إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحُ أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. They told him, Lord, إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَسِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. Don't worry. We are actually angels. Messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels coming from Allah. لَنْ يَسِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. They will never reach. Don't worry. That's really nice. SubhanAllah. He was saying, actually, before this statement, he says, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. Allah. He says, I wish I have a power, an ability to fight you back. I have some strong pillar I cannot be holding upon to fight you back with it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ أَخَانَا لُطَانَ فَلَقَدْ كَانَ يَأْوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah show mercy upon our brother Lut alayhi salam. He forgot, because of the nature of the situation, he forgot that he is the one who is holding upon the strongest pillar. Which, subhanAllah, when the strongest pillar reacted, you know, the world have seen something that never happened, you know, in the history. To take place in those criminals. قالوا يا لوط إنا رسل ربك لن يصلوا إليك فأسر بأهلك. He told him, ya Lut, don't worry, we are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these guys will never be able to reach. And as such, just relax. What you should be doing, just take your family members and leave the place. And they commanded him to leave the place, and they said, إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحِ. These guys, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the appointed term for them, in which they will be destroyed, is Fajr time. That's why the scholar said, as if Lut alayhi salam, he was tired of seeing them so much, you know, he told the angels, Subh is too far. Isn't it closer? Don't worry, because Allah doesn't change. When the decree has already been passed, nobody can change it. Fajr. That's why that Fajr was not a good Fajr for them, subhanAllah. You're living in that place until Fajr time. SubhanAllah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you just leave you and your family, and nobody should look behind. Nobody should look behind. Take one in Lamaratik. So some scholars said, actually, she did not follow them at the first place, because she doesn't even believe in what they are talking about, his wife. Some scholars said she followed. However, when the punishment is going to take place, she looked behind. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them not to look behind. Look at this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually a series of punishments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَطَمَسْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ فَذُوقُوا عَذَابِي وَنُذُوقُوا. The first thing that happens to them is those people who came to the house of Lut alayhi salam, the Mufassirun said, one of the angels hit them on their faces. They became blind. And some scholars said not just blind, but the place of the eyes, yani, closed completely. It's like there is no shape of the eyes. There's no sign of the eyes in it. It's like the eyes did not exist before. That's the first punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ صَبَّحَهُمْ بُكْرَةً عَذَابٌ مُسْتَقِرٌ. The morning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala visited them with that punishment, by Jibreel alayhi salam, and the scholars said there were around 500,000 people in that city. Around 500,000. He took them up. This is authentic. He took them up until the time he connected them to the heaven number one. SubhanAllah. Look how insignificant they are, those guys. And human beings in general. He took them up with one of his wings. Not all of them, it's one of his wings. Even some are saying the last part of it. Allahu alam. The point is, he took them up to the heaven number one. Until the time the angels can hear the screaming and the shouting. Dogs are barking, you know. People are shouting, you know, looking for help. And then he turned them upside down. And the way they turned the system upside down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them upside down. Was that enough? No, it wasn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّ. You know, they have fallen. You know, he took the city from the root. Not from the surface, no, from the root of that city. Up there, and they turned them upside down. So they are falling down, and the country is on top of them, following them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to throw them with stones from hellfire. Each one of them has his own stone. Each stone has the name of the one that it's supposed to be going to. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed their page. What did he mean? That homosexuality. And subhanAllah, somebody was saying that if you look at the previous nation and you see that Ummah nowadays, I'm talking about Ummah in general, not just the Muslim, but collectively, Muslim kuffar, you know, everything that those, some people in the past did, which they were destroyed, it is happening in the Ummah of Muhammad. That's why our job in da'wah is really great. We have been affected and still it will come. You know, as long as we maintain our bad behavior and evil behavior, inshallah, the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep coming. In the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the Quraysh, Kufar Quraysh. He says, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَتَّذَكَّرُونَ. I found it very interesting the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, what's wrong with these guys? In a year, we test them once or twice. But this is not enough for them to reflect and to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be obeyed. You know, twice or once or twice, he says, in a year. Nowadays, how many times in a year the Ummah is getting tested? Almost every day here, calamity is taking place here and there, and people are not reflecting. Allah says in Surah 2, Al-Isra, وَنُخَوِّفُهُمْ فَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا طُغْيَانًا كَبِيرًا. You Allah, we have to be very careful and understand also the responsibility that is on our shoulder in terms of the da'wah. We have to engage in the da'wah collectively and also with wisdom to make sure that people are back to the right track. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاحِشَ مَنْ تَشَرَتُ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ مَضَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمُ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا. He says, promiscuity and zina and all of these evil, you know, behaviors that are related to evil and illegal relationship, they will never be openly practiced in the people except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will visit them with a plague and anguish and calamity and diseases that were not known to their predecessors. Yeah, every one of us can sit down and have a list of them, which they told us this is the first time they exist. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never lie. Yeah, whether human beings are the causes of some of these diseases, but our behavior is the main cause. Allah will let those guys to have power over you when you don't do the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, bi-iznillahi azza wa jalla, Allah is going to be on your side. And no matter how much those guys plot, wallahi, they will never succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسَعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ قَالُوا تَقَاسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ لَنُبَيِّتَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ ثُمَّ لَنَقُولَنَّ لِوَلِيِّهِ مَا شَهِدْنَا مَهْلِكَ أَهْلِهِ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. You know, those guys, nine of them, they were sitting in a place, you know, discussing the matter of Salih alayhi salam. And the conclusion is, he has to go. They have to kill him. Not only him, he and his family members. And that's the sunnah of the righteous people, wherever they are. So they plotted against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they swore by Allah that they are going to kill him, he and his family members. And they will do that in secret. Nobody knows. And then they will lie and tell the family of Salih alayhi salam, they did not know anything about his assassination. But subhanAllah, they were so dumb because they were doing that against who? A messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is in his side? Allah Rabbul Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسْلِي أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. If Allah did not swear by himself or by anything he wants to swear, he has to win, even if he doesn't swear by himself. He must win when he fights something, there is no way for that thing to succeed. But now Allah is saying, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. And he wrote it. He said, I promise that لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. I have to win, me and my messengers. And those people, they were plotting against who? Salih alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah says, they were plotting. They were planning. And we also planning. Subhanallah. They plan and we plan also. Before their plan, 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, this has already been written. We're not talking about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that is already there. Fil azal. We're talking about the writing that has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, that these guys are going to be in trouble when they fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers. Allah said they plan, and we also plan ahead of their plan. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they did not know our plan. You know, I'm telling you the truth. If you're fighting somebody and that person knows about your tactics, and your skills, and you don't know about his, the battle is over. Usually and naturally, you will never win. Imagine you are fighting somebody who, even if he gives you all of his plan, you cannot win. And this is a plan. There is no one person to win. What do you think about the case and the situation of those who did not know about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan? That's why he said, فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ مَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look and see, read the history, and see the evil consequence of their plot. And what happens to them? We destroy them completely, they and their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُ. These are their houses, there. The balance of their houses, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we got them to their root. In Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. He says, many instances we destroyed a nation, a city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of their evil behavior, they were living an affluent life. They have everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we destroy them because of their bad behavior. فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We left their houses. Nobody was able to live in that, in those places, except in few instances. And who was the inheritor of that place? Allah says, وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. We became the inheritors of those places. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, don't worry. Just make sure that what you're doing is right and engage in the da'wah. Love good to the people. Whoever is making mockery, you know, because some people are complaining that people are making mockery on me because of this, this and that. No, don't worry about that. Because your side is the most powerful side. And shaitan is making you worried so that you will be demotivated. Don't look at anyone. Just make sure that what you're doing is right in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're doing the correct thing, it is not going to harm anyone. Those who hate you, they just don't like to see the good thing taking place on earth, because it's going to tarnish their business. It's going to destroy their business. Yeah, why the evil is fighting the truth? Because if the truth exists, evil cannot exist. Allah says, "Jaa al-haqqu wa zahaqa al-batilu inna al-batila kana zahuqa." If you see the falsehood taking place in a place, you know, getting rooted in a place, that's when the truth is absent. And that's why when you start bringing the truth, of course you're going to be hated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Warqat bin Nawfal. He told him, your people are going to take you out of this place. He said, why? He said, because of the nature of what you'll be bringing to them. He said, are they going to take me out of this place? He said, yes. He said, why? He said, لَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٍ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَوْدِي. Nobody ever brought what you are going to bring to your people, except that you find his people hating him. You're also going to be one of them. Did that happen? Yes. They hated the Prophet Allah. They fought him. They killed some of his companions. You know, they persecuted them. They boycotted them for 3 years. Prophet Allah was beaten up by them, subhanAllah. And to the moment, the Prophet Allah was so sad, depressed. He went to the place and he cried. Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He told him, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? He told him, these people, they beat me. They said this and that. They wanted to kill me. This is the plan. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that very, 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 you know, humble situation, he was talking to Jibreel in this way. Jibreel came just to give him the comfort, because the pressure was too much against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why you will understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with somebody whose name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned and he did not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will love whatever you cannot imagine of difficulty the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so that you will become a Muslim. All of these privileges that we are enjoying nowadays, Allah is just one of the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The least you can do is to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his name is being mentioned. Subhanallah. Jibreel was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to give him some relief, some comfort. The job is not going to be stopped. He has to keep going on and be patient and carry it on. So Jibreel was just here to make him forget those things that are taking place, you know, concerning him and his well-being. So Jibreel alayhi salam told him, he says, Ya Muhammad, you see that tree? He said, yes. He said, call it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call the tree. The tree removed itself from the roots and it came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. And then he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask it to go back. You know, and then he said to the tree, go back. He went back to its position. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. When he smiled, he told Jibreel, he said, this is enough. SubhanAllah. So that's why I said, the da'wah should be continuous, you know, to say that you're going to have a smooth, you know, a da'wah without facing challenges. No. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to be patient? Because you're going to face a lot of challenges in your da'wah. So as I said, make sure that what you're doing is right. Make sure what you're doing is right. Islamically, you're calling upon the truth according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And make sure you maintain it. You maintain the istiqamah upon that. And make sure you pass it to others. You invite them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that the good could be shared with others. And make sure you observe patience. Four things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do in this life before you meet Him. Iman, al-amal salih, and also patience, which necessitates istiqamah upon those good and excellent manners and virtues. And the last one is to pass the da'wah to others. And don't worry, whether you have somebody to accept you or nobody is accepting you, don't worry about that. Allah did not ask you to make sure that people are accepting, but He asked you to make sure that you're passing the da'wah with wisdom. The rest is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them listen, to make them understand, right? The success of your da'wah is not going to be measured by how many people are accepting you. If this is the fact, then Nuh alayhi salam has only a few. There are some prophets who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nobody who accepted them. Nobody who accepted them. Did they succeed in the da'wah? Yes. And the same is you if you have those manners and four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to adorn yourself with: al-Iman, al-Amal al-Salih, al-Sabr, wa-Da'wah ila al-Haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is a question about the person who killed 100 people, and he repented. I guess that this story is known to everyone. So the question is, since there are three rights upon the person who killed another person, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been fulfilled. The right of the family members, this one is not mentioned, yeah, because he just repented and then left the city. The last one, which is for sure, did not pay it yet, is the right of those whom he killed. And this person goes to Jannah. So the question is, did he fulfill the right of those people whom he killed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this person's tawbah is accepted by Allah. That means Allah will settle those rights on the Day of Judgment. Payment have to be given, but because of the sincerity and the tawbah the person is making, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes pays on a person's behalf. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu ada'aha adallahu anhu, wa man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu itlafaha atlafahu Allah." If a person takes the wealth and the money of others with the intention of paying it back, Allah will pay on his behalf. In case he died before he pays the loan, Allah will pay on his behalf. But if he dies without paying the loan and without having intention to pay it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to destroy him. Atlafahu Allah. He will be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the Day of Judgment, he has to pay that debt from his own reward. Because there is no ringgit, there is no dollars, he will be paying from his reward. So those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their repentance and they have good intention, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay on their behalf. Because this one doesn't have a time, he just repented and then died. And we're informed that he goes to paradise. That means the right of those people will be settled in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants on the Day of Judgment when they meet him, insha'Allah azza wa jalla. There is another question concerning mixing the intention of qada. Sister has some balance of Ramadan that she has to pay off. She has to make up those Ramadan fasting that she missed. Can she combine this intention with the intention of Ayyam al-Bayt? I really advise her not to do. Yeah? When to fast those days of Ramadan with the intention of Ramadan only. Not to mix it with any other intention. She can fast the Ayyam al-Bayt. It's good. It's okay. It's very fine. If she cannot separate them, she can fast the Ayyam al-Bayt with the intention of qada and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward her. If she is among those people who used to fast Ayyam al-Bayt, but now she couldn't do it because of this fasting, inshallah, she will not lose the reward of the Ayyam al-Bayt, even if she doesn't fast the Ayyam al-Bayt. Get it? But I really advise her to avoid that controversy of the scholars and separate between the two. Fast only Ramadan, finish it, and then go back to the rest of the Sunnah fasting. The second, the third question is a question about Musafir. A question about a Musafir. You know, when you are Musafir, the Sunnah is to shorten the prayer, right? There are some people who believe that no, it's better for you to go with the Azimah, praying four rakat for Dhuhr and Asr and Isha. And this is wrong. Yeah, this is wrong because they are not better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in making a choice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life never prayed four rakat when he is a Musafir. Never. So it's better for you to make it two. Especially when you know that there are some scholars who believe that if you pray four rakat, it's just like praying two rakat when you are not a Musafir. There are some scholars who believe that Qasr is wajib. If you don't do it, your prayer is batil. If you pray four rakat, your prayer is batil, invalid. So to avoid this khilaf, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was wrong with two rakat. To pray two rakat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never prayed four. Right? So I do have a right as a Musafir to pray two rakat. However, let's say I'm a Musafir coming to Malaysia for tourism to see the place. Then I pass through UAE and I met people praying in this masjid. I joined the Imam. Can I just say Assalamu alaikum when the Imam reached this rakat number two? No, I can't. I cannot. What if I got the last rakah? I got the imam in the rakah number 4 and I managed to get the ruku. Can I just pray 2 rakahs? I add 1 more rakah because I got 1 rakah now. So when I make it up, I just add 1 rakah. Or in the case when I got the last 2 rakahs, I'm doing qasr, right? And I've got the last 2 rakahs. When the imam said salam, can I just say salam with him? According to the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, which Abdullah ibn Abbas said, it is the sunnah, which means sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you join a muqeem and you are not the imam, he is the imam, you have to pray like his prayer. As long as you get the last rakah, you have to pray like his prayer. However, if you miss the last ruku, you miss the last ruku, right? You try to join the last rakah, but then the imam already stand up from the ruku. So you miss that last rakah. You get the idea? So you miss that jama. So in this case, you're going to pray 4 rakah. The scholar said, according to the best opinion, inshallah, you can pray your qasr 2 rakah. You can convert your niyyah to qasr and then pray 2 rakah. But that's when you miss the last rakah. But if you get the last rakah, the last ruku for the last rakah, then in this case, you are not supposed to pray qasr. You have to complete your prayer. And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the last question? The last question is about marriage, the topic of the youth. So this person was asking, if the family of the girl asked me to wait for certain reason of their own. The family of the guy. So this time around, the family of the boy are asking the girl to wait. So strange. Usually it's the other way around. They're asking the girl to wait. What can she do in this regard? Can she wait for him? Looking at the fact that getting a righteous person might not be easy in this time of ours, can she just wait for him? Or what is the advice? So whether it is the boy that is supposed to wait or the girl that is supposed to wait, it depends on the nature of that person who is waiting. If they know that they cannot wait, they cannot afford waiting, they might get into trouble of doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like, then in this case, the best for them is to go and apologize to them and look for somebody else and just marry. Don't wait for them. You cannot wait and put yourself into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of somebody. Get the idea. But if they can be patient and the family asks them to wait, and they know that this person, you know, is a very good person, they might not get somebody like him, it's better for them to wait as long as the waiting period is not that long. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.